The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Definition. But one of the difficulties of the definition is that in any given moment, there's a lot happening. And so we end up sometimes paying attention to what are the habits of our mind want us to pay attention to. How we pay attention, what we pay attention to, what aspect of what's happening now that we pay attention to has a lot to do with our interests, our bias, our habits, a lot of different things. And so, for example, if a person has a habit of complaining, then they might be an expert at scanning their environment and noticing what's happening that's worth complaining about. And guess what? There's always something that's worth complaining about. Always. But not to complain, but complaining is overrated. It doesn't really do us much good. And if what we notice are the things that we are thankful for, then we'll notice the gifts that are coming our way. And there are always gifts that we are receiving. As long as we're alive, we receive gifts. The gifts of life. All kinds of things. So, and if we have a habit of noticing that our life is a gift, then it has a very different effect on us than if we notice all the problems that exist in our life. So part of a wise, or part of the Buddhist path of practice at least, is not only to be mindful of what is and let what is be kind of speak for itself, but it's also in the appropriate way learning to attend to those things that are useful to attend to notice those things that are useful. And it's useful to notice the things that we're grateful for. The Buddha said that a virtuous person or person of integrity is someone who has gratitude, feels gratitude. In this famous poem called the Mangala Sutta, it's often chanted as kind of a blessings discourse. It says, respect, humility, contentment, and gratitude. This is the highest good fortune. This is the highest blessing. To be grateful among these four is one of the qualities that's a blessing, that's a good fortune to have, to experience. And I think that unless people are grateful, there's no hope for us, this world of ours. And really, to be able to be grateful and to say thank you, to appreciate, to have a deep appreciation for others, for our world that we live in, is really needed for some kind of healthy progress in this life of ours. If we don't see and appreciate what's to be appreciated, we don't see and appreciate all the good that comes our way, all the benefits that come, then how can we, what point is there to have progress? Where are we going to go? And then some people will say, well, gee, this sounds like a Hallmark Dharma talk. And there's a lot of suffering. I thought Buddhism was about suffering. I thought it was supposed to kind of have rousing Dharma talks on sickness, old age, and death. Buddhism has a heightened attention to noticing sickness, old age, and death. Buddhist practice really points us to really recognize these as being teachers for us. But one of the things that sickness, old age, and death teaches us is to be grateful. Because I remember Isan Dorsey, a wonderful Zen priest in San Francisco, who had AIDS, died of AIDS. He said, at a time when he had AIDS, he said, to have AIDS is to be alive. Very interesting quote. So the poignancy of sickness, old age, and death, the way that sickness, age, old age, and death teaches us that this lived life that we have now is unique and special, is valuable, is something, quite something. And to sit and meditate and let the anxious activity of the mind settle down, the greedy activity of the mind always wants more, or the mind that's actively not liking what's here. There's so many activities of the mind that the mind spins around in. And when the activity of the mind quiets down, and all the reasons for why we're afraid, or why we think things are not right, or all that activity quiets down, it's really amazing how what's left can feel like a gift. The spiritual life in Buddhism is often felt as a gift, because it's very hard in doing, I think, once you kind of get into the kind of some of the depths of Buddhist practice, it's hard to take credit for it. It's hard to feel like I did this. It's my attainment. I huffed and puffed, followed my breath, and really kind of did this. We have our part to play in practice, but it's not really our doing. It's not someone else's doing either. But these things, they come to us, the sense of well-being or peace, love, compassion, the sense that the feeling that just taking one breath is special, is a gift. To walk out into the rain, as I did today, and feel the delight, the appreciation, the immediacy of a drizzle falling on my umbrella, seeing the clouds, the grayness, feeling alive. So what is it that makes a mind, makes a heart choose the different things it focuses on? What is it that prompts us to focus on the things that are difficult or things that are hard for us in a way that burdens us even further? And what is it that gets a heart or a mind to appreciate what happens? There are even people who are grateful for their difficulties. Have you ever been grateful for your difficulties? For your challenges? And perhaps to defend myself a little bit from a Hallmark Dharma talk, my feeling is that the gratitude is a very subversive attitude to have. It's countercultural, because much of popular culture runs on acquisition, on consumer, of wanting, demanding, expecting. It's phenomenal to me. You know, if you have the privilege of living in different countries, including this one, the United States, it's quite something to watch someone get angry in this country for not receiving some kind of service from someone else in a timely way. What do you mean? I had to wait here 3 minutes? What do you mean? The telephone company can't come for 3 hours and fix my telephone? The plumber can't come for a whole hour? The traffic on Brewster and El Camino here, and Broadway and El Camino, is a traffic jam for it. How long has it been now? What a nuisance. And then to go in a different country, and there are plenty of countries in the world where, oh, the plumber will come next week. The telephone? Well, we have a telephone repair person, but we don't have any parts for you. You have to wait a while. Ajahn Amaro, the Buddhist monk, went to India, and he was someplace in the foothills of the Himalayas. He was going to get on a plane. He came a little bit early to the airport to get his plane, and he had this idea that sometimes in India things are often late. So he showed up, and they said, "Oh no, there's no plane for you," because it was preponed. It was preponed. It's already left. It left early. So you never know what to expect. So what does it take to be grateful? And why bother? There's all this research these days on positive emotions. There are now, you know, psychological research pointing out that gratitude is healthy. Like taking your vitamins. A dose of gratitude every day. So gratitude has been one of the emotions that certainly took me by surprise in my Buddhist practice. I didn't come to do Buddhist practice to be grateful. There's a whole series of emotions which I didn't come to have any, I had no interest in growing up. And certainly gratitude was one of them. And it was a real surprise for me when I started feeling very strong feelings, attitudes, states of gratitude. And the reason I like to bow at the end of a sitting is to express that gratitude. Because I think when there's a feeling of gratitude, appreciation, it's good to give expression to it. Expressing it lets it grow. And so when we say thank you to someone else, we don't just say thank you for their sake, but I think we also say it for our sake, for ourselves. Because again, expressing it allows it to kind of flower, bear fruit inside of us in a way that doesn't if we kind of keep it to ourselves or don't express it. To be grateful for, there's a lot of things to be grateful for. And I could go through a list, I'm sure all of you can go through a list of things to be grateful for. But an even bigger surprise for me is to have the experience of gratitude for no reason. And that's something that I discovered through meditation practice. To have a sense of somehow openness, somehow a sense of being gifted, that things are a gift, things are just kind of precious and wonderful, that it's not my doing, that something very simple is kind of, I'm receiving something. I'm receiving a blessing, I'm receiving a benefit, I'm receiving life, I'm receiving awareness. Awareness is not even my own. And it kind of the more we kind of, the less we take things so personally, the more space I think there is to be grateful. Because if we don't take it personally, then things arrive, things that are good, beneficial, feel more like a gift. And I think that's this, that those are the two things that kind of come together. Gratitude and being gifted. To feel gratitude is to feel appreciation at receiving something, to receive something that we appreciate, whether it's to appreciate the rain or to appreciate a friend's kindness or to receive some benefit from someone. But receive something as a gift. We feel it as a gift, something like a gift. And then the flip side of feeling that giftedness is to feel gratitude, to feel thankfulness. And to live a life of gratitude is to live a life, I think, that supports not being egotistical, not being caught up in sense of self, not being caught up in desires and fear. I want things to be the way I want them to be. But what about just relaxing and letting things be as they are? And noticing that part of our environment, that part of our experience, which feels like a gift. What does it take to do that? And what needs to relax inside of us so that we can take time to experience the gift that's here? And does something need to relax inside of us? When we relax, are we more likely to experience the gifts that's here? Or if we relax, are we more likely to experience what's worthy of complaining? I suspect that the more relaxed, open, settled we are, the less we are demanding things to be a certain way, the more we'll notice here. So as I'm here, sitting with you, here, I'm aware of all of you. And I'm grateful to be able to come to a place like this, of people who are interested in meditation and practice and mindfulness, who have the ability to sit quiet, seemingly the ability, to sit quiet this way and support each other. I think it's really precious. And I feel very fortunate to be able to come to a place like this, and I feel very grateful for all of you for this opportunity. I feel grateful for the many people who make our community, our life here possible. Yesterday, I felt gratitude towards Rotor Rooter because they came within an hour. And we had 50 people here or so yesterday, and with the sewage backing up onto our parking lot. Wasn't that nice? I think it's pretty amazing that we even have sewers. You know, it's amazing they work as much as they do. You know, so if they don't work occasionally, well, you know, they should be allowed not to work sometimes. It's just pretty amazing they work to begin with. And so what we called Rotor Rooter, Saturday they came out promptly. And within a few minutes they had it fixed and we were happy poopers. Some people were more grateful than others. And we have a lot of people here in our community who volunteer. I feel very grateful for people like Linda, who's for so long now has been managing Sundays and caring for it so well. And Mark, who sits there and takes care of so well the console and the recording. And Victor. And some, I can go through a whole list of people just sitting here who do so much to support us, support me and many people. And it feels very nice. Now, one of the things that I hear some Buddhist teachers say when they give talks on gratitude is they talk about the debt of gratitude, that we're indebted. We're indebted. When we feel grateful, some people do us something good, we have a debt to pay back. We have debt to pay back up to our parents, to our teachers, to whatever. And now perhaps there's some wisdom to this kind of approach, but I never found it very valuable, this idea. As soon as there's a feeling of debt, then I think it stopped being a gift. If it's really offered as a gift, nothing's expected in return. And so there is no debt. There is no requirement, no obligation. But there might be motivation. There might be an inspiration to say thank you, to offer something back, to move it on, to move it on further, a variety of things that can happen. But I don't think there's any obligation. Because as soon as we have a sense of obligation, it gets kind of heavy. And I think the sense of obligation precludes or puts a veil over that very part of us that can experience the gifts that come our way. And so it's kind of a mixed thing. You feel a gift, And it's beautiful to have the capacity to feel something is coming to us as a gift. It's a beautiful thing to receive it that way. I've given things to people and they weren't received as a gift. Sometimes they were just received with a big no. You can't do that. And it feels very, you know, it feels a little bit sad that there's this, when there's a genuine desire to offer and it's met with a no. Or sometimes you give something and it just taken for granted. Can't remember the last time my kids said thank you for making waffles Sunday morning. Maybe it'll come in 20 years. But I think that to receive something then feel an obligation closes that part of the heart that needs to be open to be able to experience things as a gift. It also, I think, closes that part of the heart that's able then, in a beautiful way, to offer something further as a gift. At least that's my experience. Maybe other people have different ways of understanding this, the idea of being in debt. But to allow that part of our hearts that is most beautiful to have a chance to be in the sun. So to sit quiet. It's one of the reasons we sit quiet and meditate, is so that that which is beautiful inside of us has a chance to show itself. That which is sensitive, that which has capacity for empathy, for caring. And as this discourse here, that part of our beautiful part of us that's capable of respect, humility, contentment, and gratitude. I don't think it's for the faint-hearted to be grateful. Sometimes it might take a lot of courage and a lot of strength and dedication to be willing to understand and to look and take in what we're grateful for. Even especially when things are difficult, because there's plenty of reasons, plenty of difficulties people have. But what happens if you look for what you're grateful for in the midst of the times that are most challenging? When it becomes your turn to be sick, to be old, and to die, are you ready to be grateful? Do you have a capacity to look and see what's to be grateful for in those times of so-called crisis? If you're ready, great. If you're not, prepare yourself. And you can prepare yourself by beginning to exercise that muscle of gratitude, that muscle that tunes in and notices what is a gift. And if you're too busy wanting what you want, getting what you want to get, you might not give yourself the chance to allow yourself to receive the many gifts that are being offered to you moment by moment. So that's all I have to say. And I really didn't know if I had anything to say. But I felt so grateful. So that's what I want to talk about. We have some time. Maybe we can take 5 minutes if some of you would like to make a comment or a question or protest. Complaint. Those are welcome. I'll take it as a gift too.
Last month I was reading Houston Smith's autobiography. In the 50s, he went to practice at Myo Shinji, and it was very difficult meditating and sitting like that. And then afterwards, he went to speak to the abbot for him to say goodbye, and he had a very different personality. And in essence, what he told him was all of Zen practice is just gratitude. You want to make any comment on that?
What kind of comment would you like?
Your opinion. I was very moved by what he said, actually.
I would like to believe that at the heart of all spiritual traditions is an understanding of, in all mystical traditions, all religious practice, spiritual practice traditions, is one of the things that we all have in common is a recognition of how central gratitude is. That's my comment. Oh, a Zen student's going to answer.
Well, thank you for your words this morning. And being a fairly goal-directed person, they hit home. So I often have difficulty with this idea of if one is grateful for just the way things are, one is abandoning what may have been fairly mindfully chosen to pursue or to achieve or to succeed at. And so I go back and forth between that, and I'd like to hear your ideas about setting goals or setting setting sort of like importance of things to pursue, and then also achieving that idea of just being happy with the way things are.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if Buddhism has ever said you're supposed to be happy the way things are, grateful for the way things are. We're happy for particular things, but to give reality a blanket, you know, to just give all of reality a blanket, blank check to be okay, then there's no practice. Practice involves some discernment that there's something which is useful to do as opposed to something which is not useful to do, and to choose between those. So even when I started the talk by saying that you can choose, there's so much to pay attention to in things the way they are, and simply to choose to pay attention to those things which are gifts as opposed to those things which are wrong, that's making a choice, one or the other. It can be done naively and stupidly, that choice. You don't want to do it so strongly you don't notice what's wrong or problematic. But we don't want to drown in the problems. We don't want to notice the gift so much that we're just kind of becoming giddy and silly, you know. But there's a way of doing it that is really beneficial. So how to hold these things wisely and find our way. But to be present for how things are already means you're changing how things are. You're changing it by being present, because how things are until that point, how things are is you're there. If you're mindless, then how things are is the whole reality with you being mindless in the middle of it. So already you're changing something, and part of how things are is that we have desires, wishes, aspirations, and preferences and understandings, many different things. So to say that this part of reality is acceptable, but the part of reality has to do with my desires are not, about the future is not, is to bifurcate reality in a way that's not useful. What we need to do is to understand the nature of our desires, our aspirations, our goal-oriented, and understand when they're useful and when they're problematic, when they cause us difficulties. People can be so focused on a goal and getting things that they lose their lives almost. But if we don't honor and respect that we do have aspirations and things we want to accomplish, and sometimes they're difficult it takes a lot of effort to accomplish those things, that also we lose our life. We kind of cut something out. So we don't want to say that, so if you want to accept way things are, you have to be very careful to also accept motivations, aspirations. That's part of it too. Does it make sense? Way in the back. You might have to wait till the mic gets all the way back there. Otherwise, I won't hear.
I have a slightly tangential question, which is the expectation of gratitude. So when you do something kindly towards someone or make an effort, I find intellectually that I can justify saying, well, I'm doing this and I shouldn't expect gratitude because I'm just the doing is good. But I find that I am enslaved a little bit to the fact that I do expect that gratitude. So if you have any tricks to be able to do that, to do without expectation of gratitude, that would be helpful. Thanks.
Yeah, it's a good comment, and I don't know if I have any tricks. I think mindfulness is so important. So to stay mindful of what your motivations are, your inner landscape, what's going on, so that you can see what's happening within you and know what to act on and what to let go of. So you might notice that you have some expectation of something, some expectation. It's really good to see that, because if you see it, then you cannot believe it, or you can let go of it, or kind of, not take it so seriously. If you have an expectation to get something back and you don't see that expectation, that's going to fester and cause problems. Now, it's good to be able to give something without an expectation of something in return. However, how a person responds when you give something to them does have an impact regardless. And even if you don't have an expectation of something in return, if the gift or the offering is treated with tremendous disrespect, it has an effect. And I think an appropriate effect. And I think that, I think that now maybe this is not a person to do that for again. So the idea of expectation and is a little bit, there's a gray zone where we don't have an erotic expectation, but there has to be some decency or some basic human, the most basic kind of human goodness being expressed. So you give someone a gift and they say, yuck. You didn't have any expectation, but it just doesn't, So I don't know if that made some sense there, but. Okay.
And we have time for another question.
If you think it's a quick answer.
It might not be. I was going to actually inject a little controversy.
Where are you?
In the back. Oh, this is God speaking.
All the way in the back? That's quite something.
Here. Back here. actually, the... the concept of appreciation I can get, but I always have a little trouble with gratitude, and that it seems to always imply a dualism, that there's some external higher power that you're subordinate to and then need to be grateful to, and maybe it's because of my Christian upbringing, but I always find that notion a little disempowering.
I see.
You're always kind of in a childhood dependency position.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah. I don't have a Christian upbringing, so I don't have to struggle with that. I'm just grateful. So may I be a testimonial to the fact that it is possible to feel like there's lots of gifts without having to resort to an idea that there's a deity out there providing it to us. It's just good. So I hope that's satisfying enough. So the last thing I wanted to say is, since we do have tea today, and since it's only 10:43, I have 2 more minutes of your time. I'm allowed, right? I would like to ask you to say hello to someone sitting near you. Say hello, and if you want to linger at all, you can even say something about your thoughts on gratitude. But just say hello to someone, because especially people are new, it's nice to make contact. Thank you.